Well, it's a joy to welcome you tonight. I tell my welcome to Robs. I'm Steve, I'm the vicar here. Great to see you in the building, great to see you watching at home. I give you a warm welcome to our carol service here at All Saints Church. And I don't know about you, but I do love Christmas. I love it. It's a wonderful time of the year. But after Christmas is over, I always feel like I need another holiday. I don't know about you. I need some rest. I need some peace. Do you long for peace? Do you long for rest? Maybe we long for peace in our family life. Larry, age 6, is writing a letter to God. He just read the story of Cain killing his brother Abel in the Bible, and he wrote this letter. Dear God, maybe Cain and Abel would not kill each other quite so much if they had their own bedrooms. It works for me and my brother, love, Larry. Or there was Nancy. Nancy, aged 8, writes this. Dear God, I bet it's hard for you to love all of everybody all of the time. There are only 4 in my family, and I can never do it. Love, Nancy. Peace in our families. Well, at the National Arboretum in Staffordshire, there is a memorial to remember a remarkable moment of peace in the 1914 Christmastime truce. Let's watch this short film.
My name is Jim.
My name is Otto.
Pleased to meet you, Otto.
Freut mich.
Rose, she's called.
It's schön. It's schön.
Remarkable. One of history's most famous football matches, the beautiful game that took place on the front line a few months earlier. The World War I erupted and fierce fighting had already claimed nearly a million lives. But around Christmas time in 1914, a series of unofficial ceasefires occurred along the Western Front. It was an extraordinary moment of peace and reconciliation between enemies. But sadly, hours later, the killing continued. It was a moment of peace in a period of hostility. Or 20 centuries earlier, shepherds living out in the fields near Bethlehem were keeping watch over their flocks at night, and an angel of the Lord appeared and brought them news of peace. A whole choir sang out, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men, to on whom those people his favor rests." Now, God always keeps his promises. So here's the question: where is the peace that God has promised? 2,000 years later, where is there peace on earth? Because no word of God can ever fail. How is it that 2,000 years later, war and terrorism and violence and aggression and hatred persist on a global and local scale? Think of Afghanistan, of the Congo, of the Syrian refugees fleeing their country still, of families in crisis. Where is the peace? Maybe these words from the angels to the shepherds are speaking of a different sort of peace. You know, that search for inner peace that we long for. Christmas is a national holiday, and images of cozy fires and Christmas lights offer us a sense of peace. But we can still be left feeling anxious and worried about life. We wonder in our honest moments, is this it? Is there more to life than this? Where is the peace that I long for, that the angels sing about? When this announcement of Christ's peace came, God's people, the Israelites, were not at peace. They were occupied by Rome. It was a dark time in their history, but there was also an inner darkness. That was their real problem. Many of God's people, the Israelites in their hearts, were at war with God. Many felt their greatest need was release from the Roman oppressor. But actually, their greatest need was to be at peace with their gods. You see, that's the peace that the angels announced to the shepherds. For them then, and for you and I now. It's that line from Hark the Herald Angels Sing, "Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled." Peace, reconciliation, being brought back into a relationship with God as our Father forever. As Luke Gospels records it, Jesus' coming is to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. God's people could be forgiven, for they rejected him. And so can we, for all of our rejection of God. We can know total peace with God, which he offers to us through the baby born at Bethlehem. You see, the Bible says that we are all in darkness. We're all at war with God. We fight him off from being part of our lives. It's all right for others, not for us. And we ignore him most of the time. We treat him like an invader into our lives. And as long as we do that, we will never have true peace. Our rejection of God means that he will reject us now and forever. And that is a terrifying thought that should bother us all. And yet, in God's amazing mercy, in his amazing love and kindness, he sends his son Jesus to the world, to all the people who resist and rebel against him. And Jesus is like God's amazing peace treaty. Jesus comes to end all hostility and to bring forgiveness and restore the relationship with God that we were made for. On the radio program Desert Island Discs, Field Marshal Lord Montgomery was asked many years ago which book he would take with him if marooned on an island. He said he would take his own book, and the book is called The History of Warfare. And he devoted his time to working out and to pondering how he could stop people from fighting. Now, Jesus came not to ponder peace. He came to bring peace. He is called the Prince of Peace, who would make peace with God at great cost to himself for all who would welcome him. You see, the baby lying in the manger would grow up and willingly go to the cross to die. There he would experience the full consequences of our war against God. Him instead of us, taking the place, paying the price, dealing with our rebellion. Jesus is like an army general who would offer himself, but amazingly, it's not for his loyal soldiers, but for those who had mutinied against him. That is amazing grace. And our hostility is paid for at the cross, and we can be forgiven by God and granted a forever place in the new heaven and the new earth, where there will be no war or death or sickness or tears or hostility. Peace at last forever. This, my friends, is the true peace that the angels announce to those shepherds. It is for all people who will receive it. At the Christmas truce in 1914 that we saw tonight on film was just a moment of peace. But sadly, it did not last. But it's a great little picture of reconciliation between enemies, a picture of what Jesus Christ came to bring between you and him, between me and him. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled through the death and the birth, the death and resurrection of Jesus. That is wonderful news. Peace means that we are brought to know God as our Father forever. You know, it's a peace that I received into my life at the age of 9 when I became a Christian for the first time. It brought me to know God as my Father, into that relationship with him through Christ. And that relationship now sustains me. Day by day, as I bring my anxieties and fears and joys and sorrows to my mighty Father in heaven in prayer. And I'm kept securely through life with its noise and joys and sorrows and worries. Kept by that relationship with God of peace, with the sure hope that whatever happens to me, I'm secure forever and be with the Lord forever. This message of peace on earth, this message of reconciliation, not only changes our relationship with God, but has the amazing power to change relationships with each other. I've seen it healing broken families. I've seen it healing broken marriages. I've seen it healing broken communities. It is the power of the peace and forgiveness that Jesus Christ brings. Friends, and I guess the question we have to ask ourselves tonight is, do you have that peace? Have you accepted it for yourself? Or do you keep it at a distance? We could go on pretending that Christmas is a time for peace. It's wonderful, but it's no real rest, is it? And yet we could be all along rejecting the peace with God that Jesus came to bring, which changes absolutely everything. Maybe tonight you'd not yet say you found that peace with your Maker. You're restless. Why not take time to find out more? We run a short course at Wetherspoons, starting on the 13th of January, on Thursdays for 3 weeks, called Hope Explored. It's a great opportunity to explore more of the difference Jesus Christ makes to life, of the peace he brings and the amazing hope that he brings. Why not come and find out more? We'd love you to join us. Let's watch this Hope Explored short video.
There are few emotions more powerful than hope. It's a spark inside you that brings a smile to your lips, a light that shows on your face, a feeling that lifts your head and pulls you forward. These days, hope like that often feels hard to come by. Maybe you've experienced your share of disappointments, but real hope is what the Christian faith claims to offer. A joyful expectation for the future, based on true events in the past, which changes everything about my present. Hope Explored is a 3-session series for anyone who is looking for a hope worth having. Whatever you do or don't believe, this is your invitation to explore, to discuss, to question, to discover. This is Hope Explored.